Welcome, everyone, to STPCon Radio. I'm Rich Hand, host of this upcoming conference, STP Conference in beautiful New Orleans, Louisiana, April 14th through 17th. And today I have the opportunity and the pleasure of speaking with Mark Tomlinson, who is one of our good friends at STP, big-time performance tester, Perf Bites, famous host, looking for a better word there. He's going to be doing some stuff at our performance expert roundtables, and he's part of our advisory board here. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hi, Rich. Nice to chat with you again, my friend.
Yes, I always love our chats because, you know, this is going to be a fun interview. This isn't just the business of testing. We're going to talk a little bit about personal stuff as well. And if people have a question for Mark, you can call in here at 714-583-6958 and ask Mark a question yourself. But I think one of the reasons we're kindred spirits, Mark, is we both have a music background. And I know you write a little music and you play a little music. Why don't you tell the folks a little bit about maybe music and how that impacts the way you test, or maybe it doesn't impact the way you test.
It's actually, as usual with me, I always have an interesting story to any question that you come up with, Richard. But the truth is, it goes back to there is a kinship between, I think, engineers and musicians, and particularly when it comes to having to express yourself creatively with, let's say, improvisation or expression, even an emotional experience that you would have using an application or something. The similarity between coding and engineering and music is that you have to operate within what is a fairly strict foundation of a structure, like a programming language, or like a 12-tone scale and a meter, and all of the exact things you'd have with musical composition. So there's this weird sort of structural requirement within the language of music or the language of code that the challenge, it's not just, hey, let's just go express ourselves emotionally. It's, here's the challenge of having to come up with something that's, let's say, emotive or, entertaining or influential through this, the confines of a very structured language. So, you know, I'm not saying you can go write, you know, a Bach concerto in Java. Well, someone probably already has written a Bach concerto. I don't know if he even made concertos or anything, but he was a really great composer, of course. And yep. But maybe if they had JavaScript back in the 15th century or something, that would be good.
Yeah,
classical music in that structure.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I've always wanted to do, Mark, and I enjoy doing presentations, and I've done a lot of speaking in front of not so much testers as people in the customer service, technical, IT support space. I always wanted to do a keynote utilizing a band, because when you put together a team, right, when you put together a team, it's so much like a band where – you know, you can't all have the same skill set, but like you said, you're working from a core mission to play a song, for example. So that's your core mission, and then you need a bass player, a keyboard player. Yeah, you might need a singer. You have a guitar player, a drummer, and how each one of those fit together to come up with a product that's of high quality and, the customers enjoy. So I've always thought about doing an analogy of like bringing up the drummer, right? They lay down the beat, then you bring the bass player in to lay down the line, and then you start getting the more the more creative side of the guitar player or the keyboard that can throw in a melody or two. I think that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yes, I think so. And then your project manager would show up as a vocalist and be a prima donna. They want the spotlight. They take all the credit. And your performance tester or your software tester is the bass player that, you know, keeps everything together and provides the bass harmony structure for the composition, but never gets any credit. You know, they just sit in there.
The music critic is the business side, right?
That's right. Exactly. They're in the audience and they're taking notes. They're the director of some sort. But you know, for me, music is it is more unstructured. Some of the stuff, if you actually go to my website, which we can share out somewhere, you can find me.
Absolutely.
Just go search for my personal website, and I have recorded some stuff. Years ago with a guy named Grant Perry, who was a bass player and a very improvisational artist. And, I got into playing lap steel. So I play dobro, I play guitar, I play all sorts of different instruments. But I got into playing lap steel, and I bought, 3 days before this gig, I bought an 8-string Fender lap steel with relatively, I had some dexterity on a 6-string with the tuning on a 6-string, but I had never played an 8-string lap steel in my life. And I ended up actually tuning it completely wrong. Not completely wrong, mostly wrong, and played the entire gig, just totally improvisational. And there's some of the most peculiar things, the sounds that we got out of it. And to me, that was, you're not coding, you're not checking in, you're not testing that music. You're just, it's real time, continuous, ongoing improvisational composition, which totally improvised music. So if you want to hear my brain without the structures of good test techniques or quality, then you can go listen to that. It's still entertaining, but it's very freeform, crazy guitar playing.
Yeah, me, I need the chords and the structure. I'm creative in creating new chords and structures, but I'm not a very good improv guy because I don't have that kind of background, but I do enjoy a good improv session watching. I wouldn't want to sit in on it. If you told me I needed to play these five chords and here's what I want, I would be a great rhythm section for you just to hold the straight rhythm. But as far as all the improv, that's not my, I think I'm creative, but not from that perspective.
Not nuts, basically. Like I am. One of these years, we should have a jam at STPCon, the STPCon late night. You have to take contemporary songs or classic songs and convert the lyrics into some testing-related subject.
Oh, that would be fun.
I think that could be the software testing blues. Mike Lyles, actually, I've told him he needs to write the lyrics to the software testing blues. I think that would only be good. Very fun. But STPCon's coming up, Rich. We're going to see each other just about a month from now, right?
Yes, it's about 4 or 5 weeks from now down in beautiful New Orleans. We're going back to the Sheraton down there. And for folks that are listening, if you've never been to New Orleans, you need to go there. It's a lot of fun. The hotel is strategically located at the top of Bourbon Street, and there'll be some great, besides great conference activity, there's an opportunity to just step out the door and go see some crazy people walking around Bourbon Street. So
talk about great music. Fantastic guitar playing, blues playing, jazz, funk, all sorts of really, really cool stuff. Musically, New Orleans is an old school kind of place. It's a great music town. Especially live music, of course. Yeah.
Absolutely. So,
Before we should talk a little bit about... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we'll definitely get to the conference and some of the things that you're doing down there as well and we're doing down there. But tell me a little bit about how Perf Bites is going. I know you just recently had a continuous performance testing podcast. And how are things going there? How's your co-host James doing? And how's everything going there? Are things going at Perf Bites the way you hoped?
Yes. Well, of course, we hoped somebody would listen, and, James's mom usually tunes in. We can count on that. So we at least have one person listening. In the last episode, we had the pleasure of our good friend Carlos Chidiac actually joined us, and Carlos was on the engagement out of Beaverton, Oregon, when we had the original breakfast meetups at International House of Pancakes. And so he's sort of a Perf Bites founder when we did, the Perf Bites breakfast. This year will be 2 years old as of, October or November. So we're about a year and a half old. And so we're just learning how to walk. We've got, pretty soon we're going to be very, very self-sufficient walking around as a toddler. telling people, I'm 2 years old, I'm 2 years old. Yes, exactly, walking on the train. So James is fantastic to work with. We're very different personalities, but at the same time, when it comes to the disciplines in the industry and the practices of being a performance assessor, we actually have a lot in common, and it makes for an interesting chemistry in the show. We've covered 38 episodes in the year and a half that we've been going, so it's about every 2 weeks. And of everyone that we talk to the most part, says, "How on earth have you guys continued to? How are you at 38 different episodes? I thought performance testing, you do like one episode and you're done." And what they would know if they came to our sessions at STP, at the conference, they'd be like, oh, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. There's, you know, at least 38 episodes worth of subject material to talk about. But still the most so we get fantastic feedback from the listeners. We have a pretty good flow of people sending emails to ask at perffights.com. So they ask us questions, and we answer them on the air as we can. And the feedback's been very good. We actually, Rich, we shortened the show and split it up into smaller chunks so that people could digest it, because they're supposed to be perf bites, not like, yep, you know, a four-course meal with wine and dessert. And so we actually shortened the show, and we separated this segment that we call the News of the Damned, which is introduced by Beelzebub, the proprietor of darkness himself. Yep. Which is basically highlighting the more worldly famous outages from people in the IT department who clearly were not thinking straight, or probably maybe influenced by demonic possession as their websites go crashing. And James came up with the name, and I just ran with it. So, and speaking of the music stuff, like I've done all the musical production for the show as well. And so people really like the Perf Bites theme. It's a bass playing. It's very fun. But yeah, we're doing great. We're at about 12,000 listeners worldwide.
Cool.
Total. And on any given episode, we're between four. You know, the day of, it's 200 to 300 listens in the first day. So we're gaining a lot of interest, and it's still growing. So we'll keep doing it as long as people are still listening.
And it doesn't surprise me, because anybody that's listening now that was at the Phoenix conference, you did a live broadcast of Perf Bites, and I'll tell you, it was, even if you're not a performance tester, it was very clever, very funny, very engaging, and you could understand, you kind of take it on from a non-technical, or you did it in Phoenix anyway, from a non-technical perspective, but a very strategic and enlightening perspective, even if you are not a performance tester. If you're one of those folks that's just in quality, or a business guy and wants to understand a little bit about how performance impacts your organization, I highly recommend it, because it was so much fun.
But we didn't bore you, did we?
It
was entertaining enough. You would have no idea that between the two of us, James has a little more apprehension about public speaking. He has to get in the groove to do it. And so, you know, being on a podcast is nice. We're very comfortable. But, you know, speaking in public in front of the group like that, we've only really done that twice at STP shows. So we're going to be doing another one. I think it's on the Wednesday night of STPCon, so that would be the 15th, I think. And it's always a really fun time. I'm not sure. We kind of wing the topic, or we try to kind of feel out what's happening at the conference and what the theme is and what people are talking about. Obviously, last fall, it was the entire healthcare.gov website crash, which was perfect for us, because we want to highlight, you know, what people could do to have fixed it, or what political repair they had to make to survive.
Oh, yeah.
That was a never-ending thing. In fact, I think every session at STPCon was about healthcare.gov last year, at least mentioned, and then we got on with the show. It was very fun.
And you know, to the acclaim of all those people out there, developers trying to fix it, it's still going to be a topic this spring in April.
I think so. There's a few other ones we find, honestly, Rich, recently, at least in 2014, it's been mobile sites and or ticketing websites, like online ticket sales, in the UK. The UK has just taken the lead. They have two or three stories a week that come out of another. Something's happening in the UK. I don't know if it's bandwidth or I don't know what's happening over there. It could be all the closed circuit TV cameras they have all over on the network.
Could it be Verizon throttling their service over there?
I don't know.
I don't know if you've heard that with Netflix and Verizon with the whole what do they call it? The internet access there.
So they govern your speeds, and so I think Comcast, they put some deal together, and Netflix, I forget the latest number, but it's like they compromise. They make up like 40 or 50% or more of the actual bandwidth consumption on the internet, and I'm like, boy, what if we all just went back to using Blu-ray discs in our homes? We would get like 50% network throughput on the internet. Wouldn't that be nice? That would be nice.
I love Netflix though. I'm a Netflix guy. I love The House of Cards and Downton Abbey all those shows are very nice to have access to. So hey, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming conference and what you're doing there. As far as you're doing a workshop on advanced performance puzzles, you're going to be hosting a performance expert roundtable. So talk a little bit about those two and what folks can expect from that.
Oh, I, as you know, Rich, I come to SGPCon and I just do as much as possible. You guys are gracious enough to let me do tutorials. And this upcoming tutorial, one of the things last fall we did was a intro to performance. We do intro performance online now as an SGP online learning. And so we do another more advanced class, which is a pre-conference workshop called Performance Analysis and Remediation. And it's also commonly known in my head as the art of performance analysis, which is the thing that most people think when they talk to a performance guy. It all just sounds like mystic black art. How did you know that the thing was connected to the thing? So I'm going to attempt to actually in one day teach the basic constructs for performance analysis. And of course, for anyone that's getting started in performance testing, this is not the first class you're going to take. This is going to be the third or fourth class. And remediation, of course, is what we do once we determine what has been a bottleneck or what's been broken or incorrect, and how we remediate that and escalate that. So that should be a really fun workshop. That's happening on, I guess it's the 13th, 13th
yes,
or 14th,
it's,
or Monday.
It's, right? Yeah, it's Monday, and it's from 9 to 4. And,
9 to 4. Yeah, Performance analysis, the black arts, the art of performance analysis should be awesome. Now, and I have two other things. So I have a track session called Advanced Performance Puzzles, and this is a direct request from people that were in the workshop and some of the more sort of intermediate or advanced customers, attendees last fall, who said, I want to present some puzzles. And so it's going to be a track session, but it's going to be sort of a group collaboration where I present the puzzle and you put you get to vote and we go around. I don't know exactly how we'll do the interactive part, but I have a handful from all my years of performance testing of these bizarre issues with performance, timing, volume, load, bottleneck constraints, and I'll describe them sort of like like a mystery, and then you would have to be, Hercule Poirot, I guess. I'm not French, I can't say that. Or you'd be Sherlock Holmes. I totally butchered that French guy's
Clouseau.
Name. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clouseau, there you go. Inspector Clouseau, although he's sort of...
Yep.
Yes, but, he was a diver. Wasn't he the...
Oh, that's right.
He was the guy that in the National Geographic. That, although he was also solving the mysteries of the sea. Rich, you and I are not allowed to speak French, even though we're going to New Orleans. So the advanced performance puzzle should be really fun. I'm going to present a puzzle, and then we sort of get to nominate answers from the audience. People get to sort of debate how they would approach stuff, so that there's a little bit interactive piece there. And we're also doing something with all the different tracks, which is you guys came up with, which is the performance roundtable concept, which is pretty cool. And so I'll be facilitating that with probably James will probably join me and maybe a couple other leads. And it's the roundtable discussion should be really fun because we're actually going through real problems that are presented from the customers, and then they're able to get sort of peer feedback and review in different groups. Again, it's sort of a small group problem solving. I guess that's the right way you would say it, Rich. It's sort of group problem solving. And so it's also, to be honest, free consulting because you never know who's going to sit at your table. It could be me, and I'm going to give you all these fantastic, as many as ideas as I can in, you know, 8 minutes. So we made it, there's a little speed geeking type of concept in that. And I think I left something out. I didn't forget anything, did I? I think those are the only ones I got.
Yeah, maybe. Besides being part of the advisory board that helped us put together this program, which we appreciate, but you're going to be available. We've decided this year, Monday night after the full day of conference pre-workshops, that folks will need a opportunity just to relax a little bit. So in the Sheridan lobby area, we are putting together, STP is hosting a meetup on Monday night where we're encouraging our speakers to who are in town early to come on down and attendees, even if you're not part of the workshops, to come on down and meet Mark and some of the other presenters there. Because, you know, Mark, one of the great things about conferences, the reason I love them so much is it's really about the hallway conversations, the networking, the sidebar conversations that you have. Now, not to say that the presentations aren't important, but they're the start of the conversation. So doing a Monday meetup, it gives people an opportunity to shake some hands, get to know people, and make it more comfortable throughout the rest of the 4 days.
I think so. It's a really down to earth conference. It's, you know, other conferences sometimes have this really big. Sometimes the people on the stage have this star like quality. You can't talk to them, touch them. There's this aesthetic distance, it's really something you don't encounter with the STPCon crew. The minute you're sort of, every time I'm leaving a session, I've got two or three people I'm talking with and one-on-ones, which brings up the other session that Mike Lyles and I are doing, which is on Thursday.
That's
for
right.
People to meet up and learn about presenting at STPCon, like how to do some basic public speaking, but also if you're ever given a presentation to a room full of testers. You know, other people, if you're just doing an impromptu presentation and they're just there for the cookies, you know, they're not going to, it's usually an easy audience. But if you get a room full of software testers who come to STPCon with their brains turned on and they're fully caffeinated, that can be the hardest classroom, the hardest audience you have ever tried to manage. So it's really, we're going to do, Mike and I are going to spend some time doing role plays of how not to do a session. And if you've ever met Mike, he's hilarious. So it's going to be a fun show. But we're also going to encourage folks who are interested in presenting at STPCon to sign up and look for mentors from other speakers so that we can encourage folks to, you know, practice, put together a good session, help them, you know, present themselves in the best possible way and get more comfortable with it. So mentoring is something I do with lots of different folks in the community naturally, but now we're going to try to kind of make that a little bit, build it in a little bit right into the conference. So that'll be fun. That's on Thursday, right? Thursday morning, I think.
Yep,
so,
Thursday.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic.
Looking forward to that. And don't forget, you are also, just got to remind you of all the things you're doing there. You're also facilitating STP Radio during lunch on Tuesday, where you're going to have a panel of folks and you're going to talk about testing, allow the audience to interact with some of the folks that will be sponsoring there, and a good opportunity to talk about all different types of testing subjects, including technology, all kinds of different issues. So I'm really excited that you're going to be the facilitator for that. I think it'll be a lot of fun. That's something new this year.
That is new. And you and I were just talking about it before Rich, it's just a great idea. This, you're inviting the sponsors who are generous enough to be part and support the conference and support the community. And so we're going to invite them on stage, and obviously we want to have them talk about their products or services and what they believe is, you know, happening in the testing industry and what strategies they're thinking about, and share, you know, what they do to support the community. But we're also going to sort of put it in this great format, which I think is brilliant, where you've heard the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right? With
yep.
It's a great show. But we're going to, like, Who Wants to Be a Testing Millionaire? So each of the participants, I think, will they can ask. They would phone a friend. They could ask the audience a question. So we take a question from them. They could do a grab bag, maybe some predetermined questions out of the random grab bag, or they could suffer the swings and arrows of a challenging question from yours truly. I'll try to think on the fly of something to actually ask them straight out, and we'll see how they can handle it. That would be very fun. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you know. But that should be a great way to engage and get those folks who normally we see, you know, in the vendor, kind of the summit. What do you guys?
In
the expo.
Yeah.
But yep. This is yet another way to kind of have those folks. You can see them and hear them and put a name to a face and know who to pick out in a crowd to go talk to. So we'll see who we get signed up on the stage for that. Speaking of which, also. Rick and I were making some plans around STP podcasting, and we may have an announcement ready in April to sort of bring some new podcasts into STP generally, maybe generate some new content. There are several folks, actually, Rich, who talked to me about wanting to start different kinds of testing podcasts and maybe doing more interview style. This week in software testing is a lot of interviews and panel discussions, so maybe we have some other energy reinvigorating the podcast channel, which, as you know, we talked earlier, is near and dear to my heart. And you have your own podcast. You have a radio show.
Yes, I do. But it would not be. It's one of those things that you don't talk about. You know, politics, religion, and what's the other thing you're not supposed to talk about? Or is it just politics and religion?
Politics, religion, and your marriage.
That's right.
It's a personal, but it's always really fun to encourage folks from the community. I mean, no matter what their perspectives are, podcasts are this. They're nothing new, but they're really taking off in the latest couple of years. So I'm psyched that STP is kind of embracing that a bit.
Yeah, we want to aggregate as much great information for the community as we can. So we're as you know, Mark, we're always open to those ideas, and we're really excited about getting as many folks as we can to participate in that, basically an STP channel there, which also brings me to. We're talking about expanding our advisory board a little bit, and you've been part
right.
of that. And I think that's an important concept in any community, is to have people within the community driving the direction of the people who are trying to support the community. Because, you know, it is truly, if they build it, they will come concept
yeah.
that – Yeah, it's what's important to you. So if you have a little bit of a say in that, I think people engage more. So we're looking forward to moving forward a little bit on that. What are your thoughts about advisory boards?
Well, I think there's two things that ruin the experience of serving on an advisory board. And in one hand, when people show up with an agenda and they have the power to start controlling and over-controlling and they start representing their own interests more than the community. And this is something that I've been on, even in corporations, you know, small startups or, you know, just even civic organizations. There's always personalities that kind of
sure.
– some people are looking for that. And there, in the testing world, there's other organizations where there is a little bit more provincial that way. And that's just the culture of different things. One of the things I like about software test professionals is that it's facilitated by non-testers to some extent. You guys are professional community management and, advisors mm-hmm. to growing a community of software testers. And the one thing that we need to do better as individuals from the community, as well as this new advisory board, is to just kind of help you understand more of our practice, because you guys do great at doing conferences. You do great at the events. You do great at getting the content put together and accelerating what we do. But we need to make sure we're supporting you with the hottest, latest, greatest topics so that the quantitative results from, say, the surveys are matched together with, you know, sort of some actual representatives that volunteer their time to give you guys great feedback. So I think it works better to keep, you know, if there are going to be testers involved from the community, we should be seeing it as an opportunity to serve and represent the voice of the community a little bit more directly for you guys, and be there for you when you need us to say, all right, hey guys, we're thinking about doing X, Y, and Z. What do you think? And we'll go over. Will testers like it? Is the subject interesting? And I think together that'll be good. We're hopefully inviting a handful more people to join us there in April. So if anyone out there is interested, you can ping Rich or myself, and we'll start talking about it.
Absolutely. And having been a part of professional communities for about, you know, 10, 11 years now, that all the boards that I've been on, and I've been on dozens and dozens of boards, revolved around IT support and contact center and strategic advisory for testers.
Yes.
Is exactly what you talked about. There's this balance between agenda and engagement that really is important to the entire community. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, being associated and having it as part of your resume. But if the resume is your first and most focused area that you're looking at, usually that's where the agenda comes in, that, you know, and you're not thinking about the community. So but there are so many good people out there that just want to share what they do and support the things they do, because that's what it's about in a professional community is really addressing the topics that are relevant. How do you stay relevant as a tester? Well, you listen to what the community's doing on a daily basis, and, you know, look at what direction it's going in and have an impact on that direction, right?
Yeah, get behind it, I think, is kind of how it works. And I got to say, we have a hell of a lot of fun. And especially as a volunteer board, there's perks to contributing your time. Obviously, you get a sense that you're part of kind of the leadership of the group. And but again, if something like that, the minute it's not fun, then we're doing something wrong. I'll pledge to always make sure that we are on a positive note and having fun contributing what we contribute. I think that's the kind of community SDP is anyway. So that should be good. So I'm looking forward to it. And I always love going to SCPCon. It's going to be a blast.
And speaking of fun, you know, and we're wrapping up here in a minute, Mark, but, you know, one of the most important questions I promised to get to today, talking about fun, is what is your favorite scotch? How did that come to be one of the unofficial events at SCPCon? Is your informal scotch tasting that seems to happen somewhere along the line and at one of the nights in one of the hotel corridors or crevices somewhere, you'll hear or you'll smell that wonderful scent of scotch and cigars, and then you'll see over in a corner a bunch of folks talking about testing. How did that come about, and what is your favorite scotch?
Okay, so it's the official distillery is called Ardbeg, A-R-D-B-E-G, Ardbeg. It's my absolute favorite. It's one of the oldest distilleries. There's a lot of really old ones, but it's one of the oldest ones in Scotland. And it just happens to be, I was never really into it. A little bit of scotch here, a little bit of scotch there, and your Macallans, you have a little Glenlivet and such. And I remember going to buy a gift for another friend and said, well, I'll get him a bottle of scotch. And I walked into the liquor store in Seattle and I said, well, do you have anything really interesting or unique, something totally different? And he pointed up at the top of the top of the shelf, above the shelf in this. He goes, you see that right there? That brown? Yeah. He says, that's Sex in a Bottle. And I was like, oh, my gosh. It's a little risque. I'm like, okay. Needless to say, I was hooked after that point just on the concept and that he presented. So, but it turns out then that in drinking scotch, this goes back to about 2007, 2008, when I was working at HP, I made a connection with Scott Moore and Northway Solutions Group, who Scott's been a supporter of SDP and presented many times. Mm-hmm. And Scott's also at the time had gotten into a lot of scotch tasting. And so Scott wanted to teach myself and anyone else this very interesting technique for tasting scotch. And it just so happened that we were going to be at SDPCon. I think it was in New Orleans. It might have been in Miami.
I think it was Miami.
Yeah. And of course, we always get in trouble if you're at the hotel and there's a corkage fee and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes we luck out and no one cares. The place in Phoenix was awesome. We had a marvelous patio. That was a really great facility.
Mm-hmm.
So Scott was sort of the lead at the time in sort of teaching us this technique. And then Brian Gerhardt was there from LiquidNet. Jean Ann was there. And there's a whole host. The crowd just kept growing. And, of course, the minute... The requirement was if I learned the technique from Scott, then in order for me to learn the technique even better, I had to teach the next person. So it became this telephone game of teaching this technique. And so now it just became this thing. We would bring a unique and interesting bottle of scotch to the conference. It's not a requirement to drink, of course. You can always just hang out with us and have whatever you'd like, to soda water, whatever. But we end up, you know, shooting the breeze and digging deep in doing a talking about testing, and also we were talking about politics and all the things you're not supposed to talk about on a podcast. Things get a little bit goofy. But it's a good time. It's good camaraderie, and it adds to yet another dimension of the community, I think, getting together at the conference and having a great time. So it's always fun, and I will be bringing a unique and interesting bottle of Ardbeg to the conference in New Orleans. So we'll figure out where we're going to go to do that.
Absolutely. It's what great stories are developed from, right? Those kind of,
yes.
Like I was talking, the hallway conversations. And not that Scott Moore has an issue. I know you said he enjoys, you know, he does a lot of tasting. But, you know, just from that professional tasting perspective, we don't want anybody to get the wrong impression of Scott here.
No, we all went a little too far, as you would with any hobby like that. That's hard. Literally, he's almost, I would say, the aficionado in how to do this tasting, and he's so well known, well read on it. So I'm probably not going to see Scott drinking too much scotch recently, but watch out for Mike Lyles. That guy, get him started on Long Island iced teas, and he gets that blue stuff in it. It's really bizarre. Mike is really funny too. Again, we had last time probably 20 people sitting out on the patio and hors d'oeuvres, and it became an unofficial extension of which is good because the liability doesn't come back on STP. I think that's good. So we'll keep it separate, and it's a personal choice. You don't have to exactly. But it is fun, and it's a great way to get to meet people.
And I encourage anybody that's heading on down to the conference to find that group and enjoy a little scotch tasting. And speaking of Mike Lyles, Mark, I will be talking to him tomorrow via Blog Talk Radio at 5 o'clock Eastern.
5 o'clock Eastern.
Yep. So he will be. He's doing a keynote for us about what the 80s taught him about testing. I believe it's something to that effect. So it should be fun to talk to him tomorrow. I want to thank you for taking time today, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you down in New Orleans.
Yes, it'd be great.
And any place else you're going to be for folks that are listening and might be in an area? I know you do a lot of speaking. I know you have something coming up this week, don't you?
This week I'll be in Chapel Hill, North Carolina at the Triangle Information Systems Quality Assurance Association. Say that 10 times fast.
Good.
I'm teaching several different things, continuous performance and DevOps. I'm also, after that, headed out to Brighton in the United Kingdom, Brighton, UK, for
Test
Bash. which is part of the Software Testing Club. They're springing up all over the place, and I think there's a meeting of the minds somewhere between the STP local chapters and maybe Software Testing Club. Maybe we can work together, and that would be fun. And then I'll be in Seattle, Washington, at the beginning of April. I'll be in Minneapolis the week before STP, and then of course in New Orleans. And I have one or two other things the rest of the year, but mostly if I survive March and April, if I make it alive to SCPCon in New Orleans, I will consider myself lucky because I think I have like 8 presentations a day now and then. And I still have to get my slides done, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not worried about that.
The way I look at it, Mark, you'll be warmed up and ready to go. You'll be at top peak performance April 14th through the 17th for us. So just warming up.
I'll be stress tested before then. Very well. I'll bring my chloroseptic so that my oratory skills will be in fine form. But yeah, I'll be around around the West Coast in Seattle, New Orleans, the UK. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be really fun.
Alrighty. And thank you again, Mark, for joining us today. And thanks, everyone, for joining us on this STP Radio podcast. Hopefully, we'll see you down in New Orleans. And if you are there, stop by and say hello that you actually listen to this and introduce yourself to either myself or Mark. We'd love to hear from you. Mark, you have a great day. Thanks.
You too. Thanks, Rich, very much.
Thanks, Mark. And thanks, everyone. This ends today's STPCon Radio podcast. We'll see you next time.